There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Afternoon all, welcome to The Grill with you through until 6 o'clock this afternoon. We are live here at Barasti, big crowd in already, and well they might as well. Lots of sport to look forward to. We got it covered for you here with our expert team of grill panellists, a whole host of special guests joining us throughout proceedings, and of course you sending us your thoughts. Text them to us now on 4001. Have your say at Dubai Eye Sport, or get yourself down to at Barasti Beach, where things are heating up in more way than one. What have we got for you? We've got a couple of earlies. Real Madrid against Levante just kicking off as we speak. Blackburn against Leeds also kicking off early doors, as is Chelsea against Manchester United. We'll have team news for you on all of those games very, very shortly. Rugby fans, you've got the Champions Cup and the Challenge Cup. Action from both this afternoon. We'll have it covered for you here on the grill. Cricket fans, England against Sri Lanka. Well, both of them take on the rain at the moment. It's raining yet again in Sri Lanka. We'll have more updates from Mark Archer throughout proceedings. We've got the African Super League into its semi-final stages. Second semi-final taking place over in Sharjah a little later on today. We'll have the latest from that. We've got the CG Cup. We've got the Valderrama Masters all taking place in the world of golf. There's news from Formula One. There's news from stateside. There's news from down under. Basically, if there is any news in the world of sport, myself and the grill panel have it covered for you between now and six. Get involved in the conversation. Text us on 4001.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Wonderful to have you with us here this afternoon. This is Tomoka and The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on. And thankfully, we've got a dream team on board today. I'm not sure if it's got anything to do with the fact that we've got two belters of a game of football to look forward to, but they've come out in their throngs this afternoon to be part of proceedings. First and foremost, it's a welcome to Chris McCarty. Good to have you on board, McDanger.
Very good afternoon to you, Tom. Very good afternoon to the listeners as well. And yes, I just had to rotor myself on today, and the reason for that being Chelsea-Manchester United. It kicks off in about 25 minutes' time. We've got the early kickoff over in Spain as well. Real Madrid taking on Levante. That is 2 minutes old. Remains Real Madrid 0, Levante 0. There are some belting ties across Europe today as well. Bayern Munich, Niko Kovac, a man under pressure. Some suggestion that Arsene Wenger could be appointed Bayern Munich boss as early as tomorrow, regardless of the result today. Thierry Henry, he makes his managerial bow for Monaco. They're away at Strasbourg a little later this afternoon as well. So it is a Saturday afternoon. I'm excited. Some belting football matches to come over the course of the next few hours.
Ross Christ also on board today. Good to have you on the team, fella.
Gosh, what a great day down here at Barasti. I love it when the roof comes off. It's officially the season. We're in the season now. It's going to be sport event after sport event here within the next couple weeks in the region. Great time for sports fans. Great time for all of our listeners. Great time for me. It's the rare time of the year when all four professional American sports are on at the same time. Okay. So I'll be filling you in what's happening back home. We're also going to bring on Bassam from the Dubai Muscle Show. He helps put on this Dubai Muscle Show. So we'll be talking everything that goes into muscle with him. And we're going to bring some guys on that play in the UAE Professional Basketball Association. One guy, Justin Carter, actually spent some time with the Phoenix Suns. So if you want to come on down to Barasti, see some old NBA talent, come on down, join us. Get down here before 6 o'clock.
More from Christo throughout proceedings, and more from this man as well. Mark Archer has joined us. Just couldn't stay away from the sport, eh, Archie?
To be honest, I just came down to watch the football Premier League kicking off at 3:30, of course.
This is honest. At least you're honest.
Manchester United, Chelsea. I thought, what better place to watch it live at Barasti? And I'll keep an eye on the cricket and rugby as it happens throughout the afternoon, all the wickets and runs taking place. Quick update from Candy. It is the fourth ODI. And again, it's the most consistent performer of the series. Tom, who is it? It's the monsoon, of course.
Rain
is back. England in control of this match, 132 for 2 after 27 of their 50 overs, chasing 274 for victory. Half centuries to Dickweller and Shanaka for Sri Lanka. Moeen Ali took 2 for 55. England in control, as they have been when they've got on the field of play in this ODI series. 132 for 2. Joe Root, 32 not out. Owen Morgan, 31 not out. Will they get back? Well, let's wait and see. But England, 2-0 up in the best of five series. They can clinch the series with a win today, as opposed to they can't lose it now with being 2-0 up. So I'll keep you bang up to date with that. Big win for Pakistan yesterday. We'll talk about that later in the show, down in Abu Dhabi against the Aussies. And of course, plenty of rugby union coming your way. Champions Cup this afternoon. We'll keep you bang up to date as all the tries go in across Europe.
Let's talk cricket if we can, just very quickly, Archie, because ECB come in for a little bit of stick from travelling fans, not just because the ticket price is down in Sri Lanka at the moment, where it seems that Barmy Army and England fans have been charged significantly more than their Sri Lankan counterparts down there. Why wouldn't you? I suppose there's a cash thing. It's more to do with the scheduling of this tour, but is that indicative just how difficult it is to schedule a tour these days?
I'm not sure you can blame the ECB for the weather conditions in Sri Lanka. It's like you have to schedule these tours. It's bilateral series. It's more probably of the host saying, look, England, we've got a slot for you here. We need you to come play these matches, because England are going, I think, to the Caribbean in January, February. Yeah. Sri Lanka will obviously probably host another home series. So it is what it is. I mean, unfortunately, it has been pretty inclement weather in Sri Lanka.
It's monsoon season,
yeah, and they've struggled to get on the field. So whoever's touring there, I don't know if you can blame the English Cricket Board for the weather, but yeah, it's a shame, because both teams, England have been in fine one-day form for a long time now, and they've really struggled to get momentum in the series. And Sri Lanka at home, you think it's always going to be, you know, in decent conditions for them when the ball's turning on the subcontinent wickets. So yeah, it's been a shame that the weather has interrupted the series, but I'm not sure you can go as far as blaming the English Test Cricket Board
for
that.
Can you blame them for the ticketing issues then as well, or again does that come from?
It's not them to set the prices. It's the home association. So you would have thought they can you set the prices accordingly. I thought the English fans could literally show up there and buy a ticket as the locals would buy tickets. I'm not sure how they're done with the pricing, but it would be a shame if they are capitalising on the strength of the British pound and charging the big fans of the Barmy Army more money.
Big goal in the early kickoff, Chris McCarty.
It is a big, big goal at the Santiago Bernabeu. Real Madrid taking on Levante. Very important to point out, Real Madrid coming into this game 4 games without victory. 4 games without a single goal. The pressure ramping up on Julian Lopetegui. I can tell you as well, they have fallen a goal behind. Real Madrid 0, Levante 1. It is Jose Morales with a goal. And what on earth is Rafael Varane doing? What a defender he is. Jose Mourinho and others would have you believe he is the best centre-half in world football. So, so important, so integral to that France team that won the World Cup in the summer. But he's in no man's land here. It's a long, innocuous ball forward. He doesn't read it, does Rafael Varane. Jose Morales nips in, gets the ball around Thibaut Courtois. The goal is gaping, and he just slides it home. 7 minutes on the clock. My goodness, I would suggest if Julian Lopetegui loses this match at home today against Levante, he will most certainly be out of a job. I know some reports over in Spain were saying that he's got 3 games to save his job. I don't think he'll get those 3 games if they lose at home today. He will be out of a job. Some suggestion this past week as well that Real Madrid have already had initial discussions with the former Juventus, Italy and Chelsea boss Antonio Conte. What a scoreline. 7 minutes on the clock in the Spanish capital. It is Real Madrid 0, Levante 1.
There we go. We'll keep an eye on that one for you, as we will all the early kickoffs as well. Just going back to the cricket then as well. I mean, because there was suggestion, wasn't it, Archie, that they're looking to try and keep the fans separated, and that's why they've been able to justify these different ticketing prices. That just doesn't seem to be in keeping with the sort of spirit of cricket, though.
No, it's not a football match, is it, where you need to segregate fans, and you want the part of the fun and the pleasure of travelling around the world to watch cricket matches in the subcontinent or down under in Australia is the mix and the mingling of the fans and getting a taste of the local flavour. So it's a shame that the local authorities in Sri Lanka have deemed it necessary to try and segregate the fans and charge the English fans more. That's poor form, if you ask me. But it's just depriving them. And you wonder if they're having to pay extra money for a ticket, are they getting a bit of extra F&B? Are they getting some sandwiches there? You know, Tom, I'm not sure what the story is down there. So yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame because I think part and parcel was just mixing with the local culture and really getting in the mix. So let's monitor that, as we say, because the Test series is coming up in the next couple of weeks. I know you were planning at one stage to head down there, I think, to Gaul and watch some Test cricket in that beautiful ground in the south of Sri Lanka. So it would be a shame, but let's monitor it, because I mean, Test cricket needs to encourage as many people as possible to attend. And by charging people different prices depending on which country you come from is a way possibly it's a way of not going to encourage lots of fans to show up.
We will keep an eye on all the big stories of the day and asking you to send us in your stories as well. Keep your thoughts and text messages coming on 4001. We will turn our attention to all things football now because we are building up to our half-past kickoff, Chelsea against United. There has been an international break, Chris McCarty, so it's going to be interesting to see how the players, groups of players have come back from that. Do you, that international break as it came, given the dramas that were unfolding at Manchester United, at Old Trafford, before that international break, has it come at a good time for the team, do you think?
Yeah, two schools of thought to that. For Jose Mourinho, I'm sure he was panicking before that Newcastle game, because had they lost that, and let's not forget they were 2-0 down inside 13 minutes at Old Trafford before the international break, had they lost that, it would have given Manchester United, the board, the hierarchy, 2 weeks to find a replacement. Because I am of the view that had they lost that, Ed Woodward, the CEO, would have been under enormous pressure to pull the plug on Jose Mourinho. As it is, they came back, they won that game 3-2. Jose's had 2 weeks now to reassess, to obviously plan for this match today against Chelsea, a Chelsea side who are unbeaten. Let us not forget, at the start of this season, they've been magnificent under the stewardship of Maurizio Sarri. And looking at the starting 11, Tom, you can't accuse Jose Mourinho today of parking the bus, because he is being very, very positive. He's gone with bags of pace, and I think he's looking to attack Chelsea. I can't quite believe I'm saying that, but he has named a side that I think is bowing to pressure. If they do lose today, Manchester United, and I've got to be honest and say, I do expect them to lose against a very good Chelsea team, I think he will turn around and say to his naysayers, well, listen, I went out there and I attacked it. He has given himself no excuses, as Jose Mourinho. Let us see, because I'm excited for this one. As you say, it kicks off in 15 minutes' time. And the short answer to the question, has it come at a good time? It probably did for Jose. But the next couple of weeks, some of the fixtures that Manchester United have got coming up, massive few weeks for him. Because if results don't pick up, and by that I mean consistent results, victory followed by victory followed by another victory to get themselves back into the title race, you'll be out of a job. And I am still of the opinion that Jose Mourinho is still a dead man walking.
We will obviously be getting other people's thoughts on this. I just want to talk to you about the new man at Chelsea. Obviously a lot being made in the lead up to this one. Jose Mourinho going back to Chelsea, a club that he had great success with as well. Is he being justified? Is it classic Mourinho that there's been all this chat about Eden Hazard in the build up to this game?
Yeah, he's been talking about Eden Hazard and the fact that he would welcome him with open. He's arguably playing the best football of his life. When he first broke through at Lille over in France, when they won the League and Cup double under Rudy Garcia, he was magnificent. He's had a couple of wonderful campaigns, one for Jose Mourinho, one for Antonio Conte, but it's the consistency, Tom. And you know who I give an awful lot of credit for is Maurizio Sarri. I see an awful lot of comparisons with another Belgian in Dries Mertens, who Maurizio Sarri managed over at Napoli, who was a wide man in his younger years at PSV Eindhoven, was given a central role, and we're starting to see that now with Eden Hazard. He is given a freedom, and I've got to break away, Tom, for just a second. We're seeing VAR has been used over in Spain, and this is a monumental moment. It was originally given as a free kick to Levante on the edge of the area. VAR have stepped in. They have awarded a penalty to Levante. The referee has changed his mind. It's a penalty. Levante lead 1-0. They now lead 2-0. What a huge result is brewing over in the Spanish capital. A reminder, Real Madrid, we are talking about one of the institutions in European football, unbeaten, sorry, not with victory in their past four. They're potentially on the way to no wins in five. Julian Lopetegui, the Real Madrid boss, under huge pressure before kickoff, 13 minutes on the clock. It's Manchester United, Newcastle all over again, 13 minutes on the clock. It's Real Madrid 0, Levante 2. If Real don't turn this around, Lopetegui will be out of a job tomorrow morning. You can bet your life on that.
Extraordinary storyline developing over there. Let's get back to the Premier League. Let's hear from the new the boss at Chelsea. He's been speaking also about Eden Hazard's potential future. Obviously, he sees him staying at Stamford Bridge, believes that Hazard can fulfil his dream and his ambition of winning the Ballon d'Or.
He's a fantastic player. And so it will be very important for us if he will remain with us. But I think also that he can win everything, also the Ballon d'Or, here, without playing in Spain. Because, for example, if Chelsea will be able to win the Champions League and the Belgium national team will be able to win the Europa Cup, he will be able to win everything without playing in Spain.
Sarri on Hazard there. And what about Sarri on Mourinho? Let's get the latest from the Chelsea boss on the former Chelsea boss.
We are talking about a coach who has won everything. He has won everywhere. So I think that I have to respect him. But I think also that you all have to respect him.
So, closing ranks there, the Chelsea mafia at the moment on Jose Mourinho. Demanding a little bit of respect there, says Sarri. Sort of get his point. It is a point well made. But it's interesting, isn't it, that they're sort of the Management Inc. are coming out in support of Jose at the moment.
You can understand why, Tom, because when Manchester United have got the problems that they are, it means that the spotlight isn't so much on them. And I appreciate Maurizio Sarri can do no wrong at this moment in time. So regardless of whether Jose was doing well, the journalists would not exactly be sharpening their pencils for Maurizio Sarri, because he's had a wonderful start to life in England. But you can understand why there's a number of managers coming out in support of Jose, because he right now is the man that everyone is talking about. He has been in many respects the creator of his own downfall, has Jose. He was negative from day one in pre-season. That has permeated into the dressing room. There are factions within there that are not in support of Jose. That is my understanding of the situation. This is a huge match today, and I've always said the only way that Jose Mourinho can turn things around, the only way that the players will get back on his side, is if they start picking up results, and where Jose exudes a more positive outlook. Because right now he's negative in everything he does, Tom.
Yeah.
You know, and the old saying is, you are your team are a mirror image of your kind of manager, and you see that in Pep Guardiola, the intensity, the way they play football, Jurgen Klopp as well, Liverpool style, and Manchester United. They're just joyless right now. They sum up their manager is what they do, and this is a big game today. As I say, I expect Chelsea to win it. If Manchester United can get a result, it catapults them back into top four reckoning, and I appreciate we're still early on in the campaign, because they do start, let's not forget, they start the day 7 points behind Liverpool, Manchester City and Chelsea at the top of the table.
So Sarri is saying that Jose Mourinho deserves respect. Jose Mourinho has also said that he will go back to Chelsea with a huge amount of respect.
For me, it's another game. Would I celebrate like crazy my team goal at Stamford Bridge or my team victory at Stamford Bridge? I don't think so. I think I would try always to control myself and to respect the stadium and to respect the supporters that were my supporters and my stadium for many years. A part of that is another match for me. It's a match that I want to do well for my players, for my team, for my supporters. That's what I want. I'm 100% Manchester United tomorrow. No space for anything more than respect for the stadium and for the fans that were my fans before.
In Spain, Chris McCarthy.
Oh, what a game this is, Tom. What a game. And I can tell you it's now Real Madrid 1, Levante 2. Just 17 minutes on the clock. Real Madrid were down by 2-0. They have just pulled one back, and there's a little bit of controversy involved in this one. Sergio Ramos is claiming it. Marco Asensio's involved as well. I think it was Ramos's original header that hit the cross. In fact, it's not been awarded. VAR are involved yet again. It's an offside against Marco Asensio. My goodness, the controversy involved in this match so far. If you are just joining us, Levante took the lead early on in this one, just 6 minutes on the clock. Levante were then awarded, just a few minutes after that, a free kick that was then overturned and turned into a penalty after the involvement of VAR. We just thought a few moments ago that Real Madrid had pulled one back, but again, the boys up in the booth have got involved from VAR. They have proven, or at least it's been shown, that Marco Asensio was standing in an offside position. So it does remain Real Madrid 0, Levante 2, 18 minutes on the clock. What a huge, huge 70 minutes or so for Julian Lopetegui, the embattled Real Madrid boss, because if they do lose this match, he's surely got to go. That would be 5 without victory. It would be, as things stand, 5 without a single goal.
We will have more build-up to the early kickoff, Chelsea against Manchester United, coming away at 3:30. And, of course, goals are plenty over in Spain already. And there's Blackburn against Leeds, which we'll turn our attention to as well. Plus, we've got some very special guests joining us live here on the grill. Do stay tuned to the Bayern Winner 3.8. We take a short break when we come back. More sport.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
Yeah, game on indeed, and plenty of game on as well. Let's start over in Spain. Chris McCarthy, try and explain the first 20 minutes if you can.
How long have you got, Tom? 21 minutes on the clock, so we're halfway through this one at the Santiago Bernabeu. It is Real Madrid taking on Levante, and we've got another shocker on the cards here of a result, because it is Real Madrid 0, Levante 2. Jose Morales gave Levante the lead, a shock lead after 6 minutes. It was woeful defending from Rafael Varane, allowed the Levante number 11 to get goal side of him. He then rounded Thibaut Courtois in the Real Madrid goal and rolled one in to make it Real Madrid 0, Levante 1. Just 5 minutes later, a free kick awarded to Levante on the edge of the area. There was some confusion. Eventually, VAR would have overturned that decision and awarded a penalty to Levante. It was taken and scored by the number 9, Roger Marti. That gave Levante a 2-0 lead. Real Madrid pulled one back. That, though, was disallowed again after the VAR boys got involved. So 22 minutes gone in this match. It's been an incredible start. It is Real Madrid 0, Levante 2. They've got 70 minutes. I said it before, I'll say it again. 70 minutes to turn this one around, or I've got a funny feeling that Julian Lopetegui will be out of a job come tomorrow morning.
Let's go to the cricket. What's the latest, Mark Archer?
I can tell you that Mr. Duckworth and Mr. Lewis will be the winners of the Man of the Match award here, because it's all over. The game has been abandoned, Tom, but England have won by 18 runs, Duckworth-Lewis method. 132 for 2 they were after 27 overs, chasing 274 set by Sri Lanka. But the rain has come in, the monsoon has won again, the most consistent performer across the series. The game has been abandoned. England win by Duckworth-Lewis and now have a 3-0 series win after 4 matches. Final match is on Tuesday. So England the victorious by 18 runs, 132 for 2. Unfortunately, the weather has interrupted the series again, and England will take the victory and go to 4-0 in the series, Tom.
Thanks very much indeed for that. Let's get back to the football, because they're walking out at Stamford Bridge at the moment. We've got team news confirmed as well. You're liking the look of this Man U lineup.
I am, certainly am, Tom. It's been bold. It is very attacking from Jose Mourinho. It's not often we say that. Let's start with the home team, though. Chelsea, as is now custom under Maurizio Sarri, it is a 4-3-3 formation. Kepa will start in goals. The world's record signing for a goalkeeper, let us not forget, plus just north of £70 million. It's a back four of Cesar Azpilicueta, Antonio Rudiger, David Luiz and Marcus Alonso. Then come the midfield three. Real big fan of this midfield three. Jorginho the anchor. He is the man that will dictate the tempo of this Chelsea team. And then he's got the legs of N'Golo Kante to the right hand side of him, and he's got the craft of Mateo Kovacic to the left. Then comes the front three. Willian from the right, Eden Hazard, undoubtedly the player of the year thus far from a Premier League standpoint, coming in from the left. Bit of a surprise this, Alvaro Morata is handed a start ahead of Olivier Giroud. As for Manchester United, David De Gea, the world's best goalkeeper for me anyway, in goals. It's a back four, Ashley Young, who will take the captain's armband as well, Victor Lindelof, Chris Smalling and Luke Shaw, fresh from signing a new 5-year deal worth £150,000 a week this past week as well. Then come the midfield two, the two double pivot if you will, Nemanja Matic and Paul Pogba, Juan Mata given the number 10 role, then either side of Juan, Marcus Rashford from the right, Anthony Martial from the left, and then it is the big man Romelu Lukaku leading the line for Manchester United. It is bold, it is attacking. Manchester United looking to fight fire with fire. It is Chelsea against Manchester United, kickoff in a couple of minutes time. It is Stamford Bridge. We will have goal updates, all the action as it unfolds live, Dubai 103.8 from now until the full-time whistle.
Looking forward to this one. Football aplenty down here at Barassi. Let's hear from Jose Mourinho now. Thoughts on Luke Shaw, because obviously he's a man who's been...
Over here.
He's been working with your man Sean as well. But he's also been a man who's not always been in Jose Mourinho's good books. That seemed to have changed though recently.
A little, yeah, Tom, absolutely. And all credit to Luke. You know, obviously he was down at the Nado Shiba Sports Complex. Sean O'Shea was working closely with him, and Sean said that he felt there was a new steely determination about Luke Shaw. He's got himself fit, arguably as fit as he has been. Maybe all the way back those few years ago when he started the season like an absolute freight train under Louis van Gaal. He had then that shocking leg break that he suffered at PSV Eindhoven in the Champions League. But he's back fit. He has won the trust again of Jose Mourinho. He's probably, in actual fact, Tom, been Manchester United's best player at the start of this season, Luke Shaw, in all honesty. He's been rewarded with a new five-year deal, £150,000 per week. It does make him one of the highest-paid defenders on the planet. So good on Luke. Still a young boy, still only 24 years of age. I've got full faith that he will go on and fulfil his potential. Whether Jose there is there to see it come to fruition remains to be seen. But I'm delighted, as a United fan, delighted that Luke Shaw has pledged his long-term future to the club.
Chelsea, Man United, ball's on the centre circle as we speak. That one's about to kick off. Action over in Spain. We talk to a former UFC star in just a few minutes' time. Plus, we'll be out to Sharjah to get the latest from the Afghan Premier League. A lot to look forward to. Let's hear from Jose Mourinho first, though. He is also very happy with the way things have gone with Luke Shaw.
Men are different, players are different, and they react in different ways to the development process, and Luke reacted in the best possible way. In his difficult moments, the moments where he was not selected, he was not playing regular, he was saying the same all the time. I want to play for you, I want to play for United, I'm going to make it, and I'm going to be the player you want me to be. And he did it, he faced the process in a brave way. He started this season, before the season starts, in the best possible way. Important contract for the club to keep him, and important for him because it's what he wants. And I always like the players to be happy, so when he gets exactly what he wants, which is a new contract with Manchester United, I think was good news for us.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yeah, game on indeed. Let's get a score update. Let's go to the Premier League first and foremost. Chris McCarty.
4 minutes on the clock at Stamford Bridge. It remains Chelsea 0, Manchester United 0. The game has settled into the early pattern, as I expected. Chelsea dominating much of the possession. United, though, bold. Martial, Rashford, Mata, all behind Lukaku. It's easy to see what they're trying to do. They're trying to absorb the pressure and then hit Chelsea on the counter-attack. They're defending deeper, Manchester United. They're allowing Rudiger, David Luiz, the two Chelsea centre has to have possession. Chelsea dominating the early stages from a possession standpoint without really creating anything. 4 minutes on the clock, though. It is Chelsea 0, Manchester United 0.
Thanks very much indeed for that one. What's happening in Spain? Chris, just turn around if that's
all right. Yeah, that's all right. Left to right, 31 minutes on the clock. Shock on the cards over in the Spanish capital. It is Real Madrid 0, Levante 2. Two goals. Jose Morales opening the scoring after 6 minutes. Roger Marti making it Levante 2, giving two goals to the good. Just 5 minutes later from the penalty spot. Real Madrid have had a goal disallowed. They've tested the Levante goalkeeper not once but two occasions. They're yet to find a breakthrough. Though it is Real Madrid 0, Levante 2.
We talk UFC MMA in just a few moments' time, but let's talk cricket now because we are not a million miles away from some world beaters just up the road over in Sharjah, getting ready for tonight's semi-final clash, the second of the semi-finals, to find out who will make it through to the final for the Afghanistan Premier League. Yesterday, it was that man, Chris Gayle, who scored yet another brilliant half-century, yet his efforts were overshadowed by some of those of his teammates, as well as the Bulk Legends crushed Nangarhar Leopards by 171 runs to reach the final of the Afghanistan Premier League, which takes place tomorrow. Watching on with pride was, of course, the governing council member of the APL and CEO and partner of Snixa Sports India, who joins us live on the line now. Ashish Sethi. Ashish, thanks so much indeed for taking time to speak to us.
Hi, good evening. Thank you.
So we know the identity of one of our finalists for tomorrow. We're about to find out the identity of the second finalist a little later on today. Opportunity for you, Ashish, and the rest of the team to sit back and reflect on the Afghanistan Premier League this year. Do you feel it's been a resounding success?
Yes, definitely. The league has made major marks in terms of the sports asset. And we have had a hat-trick, we have had six sixes, we have had highest scores across UAE. We have got highest chase across UAE. It's a fantastic journey till now.
In terms of the players that you've been able to attract on that journey, obviously you've had a number of marquee players, none more so than a certain Chris Gayle as well. Have you also been impressed by the talent coming through the ranks, the more grassroots talents you've helped to bring on?
Certainly. I think the project was majorly dominated for bringing the grassroots level onto this platform, live platform, and these guys have been doing fabulously well. Hazratullah, who has smacked six sixes and has had a maiden century in the tournament, it speaks all.
And Ashish, there's been a lot of top international cricket in the last few weeks here in the UAE. We had the Asia Cup that finished a few weeks ago. We've got Pakistan playing international matches, and it's great to see the Afghanistan Premier League also playing matches in Sharjah. One semi-finalist is through. The Bulk Legends will be in the final. What can you tell us about the second semi-final and how that match is shaping up?
The second semi-final is between two top teams, which is Paktia and Kabul. Both of these teams are very balanced, and both of them have some or the other stars forcing them. Evans, who has been in a great form from Kabul, who's been scoring consistently. Rashid, anyways, is there. Shehzad happens to be the leading scorer, run scorer, sixes. It's going to be an exciting encounter tonight.
That game is scheduled for 8 p.m. this evening over at the Sharjah International Stadium. Have you enjoyed your home for the last couple of weeks, Ashish? I said, in terms of the tournament itself, has it been a positive vibe in terms of the numbers of crowds you've been able to attract?
Crowd, yes. We've been getting crowd majorly over the weekend. And next year we'll keep more provisions for the crowd to be there on the weekdays as well and enjoy.
What are the plans for next year? You mentioned next year already there. You've had five franchises taking part this year. Is there the ambition to grow this product, to attract more franchises and extend the tournament?
Certainly, but we will have some additions in the coming 2 years. And possibly we may have two more teams in the next 2 years and grow the number of matches, number of days, and we'll make it a festival across UAE, the Afghan festival.
You've got the semi-final taking place this evening at 8 o'clock. I'm assuming that tickets are available. Can people come down to watch the semi-final today and the final tomorrow?
Certainly.
And in terms of tickets, are they available on the door? Do people have to buy them online in advance?
Yes, offline, online, both. Q Tickets is our partner, online partner.
And finally from you, Ashish, I mean, as the tournament comes to a conclusion over the weekend, what would you say you're most proud of the achievements of you and your team this year? What message do you want cricket fans here in the region to take away from the Afghanistan Premier League this year?
This was anyways a very challenging project for Snigdha Sports. To market a tri-nation, Indian promoters, who were the Indian promoters, league was of Afghanistan, and the ground was UAE. So this was a tri-nation league, and we had integrated it really well. We are very happy the way the tournament has progressed. We have seen a couple of records being broken. The tournament has attracted an amazing sky-high TRP back in India, back in Afghanistan. We thank you all the supporters in terms of radio, media, television, stars, broadcast, players, sponsors, and all the team owners. The team owners have been extended family by now. They've been supporting us. In all, this was something which we desired. However, there is always a room for improvement. And I think next coming years, you will see more highlights of slightly more organized tournament, more frills which are added onto it, more luxury will be added to the tournament, and hopefully this would be the best tournament of UAE.
Ashish Sethi, really appreciate your time today. I know it's a busy time for you, so thank you so much indeed for joining us live on Dubai I-103.8. Enjoy the semi-final.
Thank you so much. Enjoy.
That was Ashish Sethi, governing council member of the APL, CEO and partner of Snigdha Sports, who brought the tournament to life. Kabul Zwanan taking on Paktia Panthers at 8 p.m. this evening. It's the second semi-final. Final, same time tomorrow over in Sharjah. Tickets are available. Chris McCarty here alongside us. So I saw you tweeting out last week that Khabib's coming to town. Any more on that one?
He is coming to town, yes. Details are still a little vague. It is my understanding he will spend 2 days up in Abu Dhabi. He will be given an audience with some of the royals down there in the capital, and then he will be spending a day here in Dubai. I believe our good friend Tam Khan will be welcoming him, Khabib Nurmagomedov, to Dubai. So look out for him. He is right now, he is the hottest ticket, and not just MMA, he's the hottest ticket in sport. I was amazed to read this past week that since fighting Conor McGregor, he's added over 8 million across his social media platforms. The best thing about him, and we'll get into it with our next guest, respect. And he said it himself, MMA was you know, the fighting game, yes, it employs aggressiveness, but it also, you know, the key hallmarks of it are respect. And I think it was forgotten a little bit with all the nonsense that came about with Conor McGregor. He's restored that, has Khabib Nurmagomedov. Okay, what went on after the fight, I can't condone. But the way that he held himself together in the face of vitriol from Conor McGregor, racist undertones, xenophobic undertones as well, he was an absolute class act. He was a class apart inside that octagon. And it will be great to see him here in Dubai and Abu Dhabi next weekend.
Our resident UFC expert was nodding away over there as well. Ross, Chris, we're good to see Khabib in town.
Oh, can't wait. Hopefully I get an invite in there. So, Chris McCarty, if you got any extra tickets to that one, let me know. But you do know I love my MMA. And our next guest is a guy who's been there.
Me too.
Our next guest is a guy who's been there, done that 39 fights, 39 professional fights, 26 wins, 10 by knockout, 11 by submission. I don't know why I chose the seat next to him in case I asked him a wrong question. Mr. Krzysztof Szyszynski, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, everyone.
First question, how does a Polish guy from Canada and in California end up here in Dubai?
Right. As soon as you said that, I was like, yeah, that's pretty crazy. I'm a world traveler. I absolutely love traveling, new cultures, new adventures. After I retired from the UFC about 7 years ago, UFC gym called. They were looking for someone to kind of help and develop their programs, their coaches, and I jumped on the chance. Spent about 5.5-6 years with them in the States. Opportunity of expanding and growing UFC gym all over the world happened, and Middle East was one of the first. And they were looking for someone to lead the MMA and the fitness world in Dubai for UFC gym. And I snapped at the chance. Had the blessing from my bosses in the States, and they said, go for it. And then here I am.
And how are you finding is the quality of fighting out here? Do you see any talent out in the Dubai area?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. At first, I wasn't really sure what to expect. I've had a chance to kind of travel around and see some shows, see some fighters. And I was pleasantly surprised with the skill level and the work ethic that the students put in here. Don't get me wrong. It is still a little behind what's happening in the States and Europe and all those things. But it's definitely catching up. And then the more high level coaches, the more high-level teams we can get here to the Middle East, the quicker we are going to catch up to everybody behind, because we are a little behind.
I haven't had a chance to get over to the UFC gym yet. How's the facility?
The facility is outstanding. I'm used to the 40,000 square foot clubs, the 4,000 square foot meter clubs, and things like that. These are a little smaller, the franchises, 2,200 square meters, 1,600 square meters, but we're all over the Middle East. The facilities are fantastic. I mean, we have all the tools you need. We got a bag room, we got an octagon, we got a BJJ floor, and on top of that, we have all the weights and all the strength training equipment that you normally see at a regular gym. It's basically the family mixed martial arts fitness training center.
Yeah, I was just going to go with ask you, what kind of client do you look for? Do you look for someone who's aspiring to get to where you are at? Or are there people that are just going there to lose a little bit of weight? I mean, who can you see in this UFC gym?
I love this question. It's one word. It's moms.
No kidding.
The UFC gym was
Need
built
any
for
instructors?
Moms. The UFC gym was built for moms. It was built for families. A typical person cannot go to the all-out sparring club where you see the hardcore fighters and all that stuff. They wouldn't last in there. They wouldn't hate it. You know, you come in, the smell, you see guys bopping each other in the head, there's blood, there's all those things. We are the family fitness center where a mom and a dad can learn mixed martial arts, not necessarily to fight, but to use it for fitness. You want to lose 10 kgs? Come to UFC gym. You know, when you're going to get your kids started in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, started with mixed martial arts, and learn about respect and just having the abilities to defend yourself just in case something goes wrong, UFC gym is the place.
And other than yourself, what kind of instructors do we have in there? Do we have guys from MMA backgrounds, or we have personal trainers? Tell us a little bit about the staff there.
Absolutely. That's my job. I'm the one that hires everybody. They go through a vigorous program with me protocol on hiring protocol. We have professional fighters, we have amateur fighters, we have PT coaches who are certified in an NASM, or they're certified in reps, which is needed here in Dubai. So we have the full-fledged staff of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belts. We have a third degree, a fourth degree, and a couple black belts training for both of our clubs. So it's the mecca of mixed martial arts, and the mecca of fitness is the UFC gym.
It's been about 7 years now since you retired. The last fight, UFC, UFC 140, getting knocked out there.
That was the last fight. That was the one.
What do you miss most about it?
You know what? The training. It was just incredible how the body is able to push and your brain is able to push yourself for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day of training. I remember days where, okay, our week usually starts on Monday. By Wednesday, you are absolutely exhausted. You just went wars for the last 2 days in the morning. You had your conditioning session mid-afternoon. Then you had your next technical session in the evening for 2 hours. You're dead. You have nothing to give. But you have that fight coming up in 4 weeks. You wake up on Wednesday. You wake up on Thursday. You wake up on Friday exhausted. But you make it to the gym, and the team is right there, and they're building you, and they're pushing you. It's just that feeling of challenging your mind and challenging your body is what I miss the most.
I'm in absolute awe of the brain of Dana White. He came in, he bought this idea. I think he purchased the UFC for something like $1 million back in the day. And now it's all over a $1 billion industry. What is he like as a person? Is he a tactician as he comes off to be? Because he just seems like one of the smartest men in sports.
You know what? I've had a chance to spend some time with him and had some chance to talk to him. And you know what? For me, the most important thing I can say is that if you're a fighter for him and you go out there and give it your all every single time, he will love you. He will respect you. He'll give you the world. If you're one of those guys who talks not very positively about the company or about what's going on, he's going to definitely give you some troubles. So, you know what I mean? I'm a believer in hard work and in work ethic and going out there and giving your all. And he and I always see eye to eye on everything.
Hard work, giving everything your all. We were all glued to our televisions last week. All four of us were watching this Khabib-Conor McGregor fight. We'll ask you about the fight here in a second. I just want to ask you about Conor McGregor. He's just a captivating personality. But the idea of sportsmanship and Conor McGregor don't seem like they go hand in hand right now. Do you side with Conor McGregor and his antics, or are you on the other side of the fence?
I don't think everybody understands, but the way I see it with Conor, it's a show. He's putting on a show to make as much money as possible. That's what it is. It's not really him. It's a strategy to make the most money, because talking crap about somebody else's religion, about their parents, is going to get people to buy their pay-per-view and to make him a shitload of money. And so he does a great job. Don't get me wrong. He's a great fighter. He's got the skills. He's done some amazing things in MMA. But in my eyes, from what I see, it's not really him. It's the WWE in him that is basically driving him to basically stardom.
Do you think in 2018 you can be a world global superstar if you don't do the Floyd Mayweather antics, if you don't do the Conor McGregor antics in the pressers leading up to this? Do you think you can still be this global brand just based on your fighting?
Khabib did it.
Anthony Joshua in the world of boxing's done it.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're right, but Khabib kind of did it because he was with Conor McGregor.
True.
Right? You know, so if he was going against someone else, would Khabib be getting an invite to Abu Dhabi right now? Probably not.
Yeah, fair. I think I am more of the opinion. I think Conor McGregor is a detestable individual, in all honesty. I think that we get caught up in it all. And I take your point totally, Christoph. You've got to sell fights, right? Mm-hmm. There is a line that he has crossed.
But did you hear the video that they were doing when nice. Did you hear the video that they were talking about, where they were talking inside the room to each other? Did you see that?
I've not seen that video. I'll need to watch that video. We'll break
Let's
away
break
in just
away
a second.
Because there has been a goal in the football, Chris
yes,
McCarthy.
There has. Yes, we head over to Stamford Bridge. 20 minutes on the clock. No real surprise this one. It is Chelsea 1, Manchester United 0. It is a Villian corner from the right-hand side. It is far too easy. Antonio Rudiger, it is, makes a little run across. Yeah, you guessed it. Paul Pogba yet again. That man is not worth £89 million. It is, and he can bleat on all he wants. It's his man. He switches off. Antonio Rudiger gets a run across him, heads it into the far corner. Paul Pogba at fault. Not for the first time I've said that this season. Chelsea 1, Manchester United 0.
There we go. Let's get back to the fight game. We are talking all things UFC, and obviously the fallout from the big one recently as well. Is this one going to roll and roll, Ross Chris?
Well, we'll see where it goes. I mean, I think you're going to have to give this a rematch. That's just too money to be left on the table. Chris, you're shaking your head over here. You don't think so?
Well, the win was he broke him.
Yeah.
He broke him since the first minute of the first round, Khabib broke Conor, and Conor had absolutely nothing for him. To do that fight again, it just would exactly be the same way. There's nothing that Conor can do. Like, you can understand, you have a kid who's wrestling bears, right. You know what I mean, growing up, a complete wrestling machine, complete cardio machine. He's getting his striking better. He's got a tough head, just perseverance, all that stuff. Now he's going up against somebody who doesn't have the wrestling.
Yeah.
Can be taken down at will. On top of that, a guy that breaks. We've seen him break several times. The match, the second match, even though, you know, people will buy it for sure, it's still going to end up the exact same way.
An interesting thing that you pick up on there, Christoph, and it was one of the things, one of my key takeaways, what ended up happening after the fight actually helped Conor. Because if he had taken the victory, had Khabib, his arm was raised, Conor was stood beside him, we would have been analysing the fight a lot more detail than what we actually did. One of the takeaways, one of the biggest takeaways for me, was Conor McGregor's face. As he tapped out, Khabib stood up, said something to him that I'm not privy to what was said. Conor, for the first time, looked like a lost boy. Yeah. He had no comeback. He was sat there like that with his hand in his head, just thinking, I've been beaten by an absolute, as you, in your words, a machine.
Absolutely. You should see a video. There's a video out there where it shows Khabib talking to McGregor. And every time he's ground and pounding him and going, what are you talking now? What are you going to say now? What are you going to say now? He's calling him all these names, right? In between the rounds, as he's getting off of Conor, Conor gets up and goes, it's just business. It's just business.
Wow. There's a video of that. Interesting.
So that tells you that this is just a business for him. This is, you know what I mean, whether you're talking about the guy's mom, I know he stepped over the line and all those things, I get that. But for him, this is just a money-making business, and that's all he is all about.
One other thing about Conor McGregor that I was just looking at the other day, I don't think Conor McGregor has lost yet at the 145 weight. Every time that he moves up,
when he
goes to the 145,
sure.
He's a dominant.
Absolutely.
He demands.
And there's so many good fights out there for him.
If he does that, he can get back on that streak again. But when he goes above 145. You saw what happened with Diaz. You saw what happened with Khabib. He just can't handle that weight.
And that's where you've got to give him praise, because he's going after the top money makers. He came back after, what, 2 years out, almost 2 years out from the Eddie Alvarez fight, and he said, who do I want? Dana White would have bent over backwards. He could have picked his opponent. No, I want Khabib. Someone who's 26-0. Deserves an awful lot of plaudits for that. But as you come back to, Christoph, it's all about making money for him. Where does he go next? The Nate Diaz fight is there for him. Tony Ferguson, there for him as well. But in the case of Tony, I expect Tony to take Conor McGregor.
Oh yeah, easily. Actually, I think I'm looking for Khabib versus Tony would be one of the sickest fights I probably would ever seen, because those guys are the way Tony came back from that knee injury, six months self rehab, destroyed his opponent like nothing. That's unheard of. So to have those two guys who have absolutely cardio machines, you know, I mean, will all day, that would be a fun fight to watch.
Chris, we're all involved with the fight scene out here. We do a bit of announcing at the White Collar Fight Night with Povey and the boys out there. We have a good night out there.
I love the way you've just done that. Yeah, you know, that segue from Conor Khabib to White
Povey.
Collar Fight Night.
Yeah, right.
Povey, yeah.
Brilliant. We get some MMA out there. We get some boxing out there. But we can all agree there's interest. People come on out. They buy the tickets. We have a good night out here. From what you've seen, would you like to see a big fight out in the UAE? You think that we have the manpower for it, basically?
Yes, I think the biggest problem right now with the UAE and MMA, there's no commission here.
Yeah.
I think that's the most. It's kind of funny. There's a boxing commission. There's a kickboxing commission. There's a BJJ federation. I believe there's a judo federation, right?
Yeah.
But yet we're missing that one. I believe that you look at the States, you look at anywhere else. If you don't get a commission, you can't really build a sport. There needs to be some regulations. I've seen and heard of fights where you have a guy who's been 22 and professional fights fighting up against a guy who's going for his first time.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to see that. That doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not saying that happens a lot, but it does happen. Having a commission and regulations, and you have to send in videos of your fighters to the commission. They will accept you, yes or no. Having the proper referees and the proper judges and all that stuff is the way to do this. And that's one of the main reasons why I've kind of been really low key over the last year. I was just kind of looking and trying to see things. But 2019 is kind of like my coming out party. I really want to get some help and develop some more MMA in this country.
Well, you mentioned there about the development phase and things like that. And to that end, you've got an event coming up next weekend. Is that right?
Yes. Putting on a small little amateur show at the World Ultimate Strongman happening at Babasham's.
Okay.
We're gonna have like five, six fights. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna have some kids doing some no Nogi grappling.
Nice.
Because, you know, Baba Shams is having everybody for free when you're 12 and under. Yeah. So there's going to be tons of kids at that event. I want to showcase mixed martial arts. I want to showcase jiu-jitsu. I want to showcase some MMA. I want to showcase some kickboxing, boxing. So we'll do some demos, some pad work. We'll do some Nogi jiu-jitsu grappling matches. We'll have some amateur fights. Got some guys who want to fight for the very first time, been training for the last year or so. Just having some fun, kind of exposing the UAE population to some mixed martial arts.
Can people come down to that?
Is it absolutely? Yeah. Just buy your ticket for the World Ultimate Strongman, and you get in for all the events that are happening during that time. It starts at 3 o'clock. The doors open, and it goes till about 11:30, 12. Our fights and our stuff's going to happen around 6:30. We're going to have about 4, 5, 6 fights. Some kids grappling. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Chris, you mentioned the kids are getting involved with this. Maybe some parents are sitting at home right now saying, kids, MMA, fighting, I'm going to maybe not sign my little one up for that. Tell me why they should.
Well, the first thing, it's not kids fighting. It's kids grappling. So the sport of jiu-jitsu has been around forever. UAE is one of the biggest meccas of jiu-jitsu in the world. There's tournaments going on a weekly basis everywhere all over the Middle East for Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I think what it is for me, the most important thing is just really respect is number one. The dedication that goes into it, showing up to the gym on a daily basis, putting in an hour, putting in 2 hours of work every single day, listening to your coach, which is only going to lead to listening to your parents, which is only going to lead to respect. And just, it's kind of funny. We just did an event at a university, and to watch a 19-year-old and a 20-year-old struggle, we did 1 minute rounds of physical activity. Yeah. 1 minute. To watch a 19-year-old and a 20-year-old struggle and have to go puke, have to go almost pass out in the corner after 1 minute of work was really disappointing to me when I saw that. It kind of tells me what's happening a little bit in this country of, these kids don't have the there's no drive here to push kids to sports or to just even healthy eating for that matter. Yeah. This is something that I want to be a big proponent of, is just developing sports and schools and gyms and going to work out and eating healthy. Because I go to the supermarket and I see what these families put in their carts. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's kind of scary. Because you wouldn't see that. You don't see that where I'm from. You know what I mean? You don't see that in the States. Like, people understand healthy. They understand how important it is to go outside and do physical activity and all those things. And I know there's a lot of things happening here with the government. They're growing that whole 30-day challenge.
Yeah, we're going to see them later on.
We're part of that as well. The 30-day challenge. The government games were happening recently. Yeah. We were a big part of that as well. So I love that. I want more. I want to get in there and help as much as I can.
Chris is helping spread the word through the UFC gym here in the UAE, right here in Dubai. The event's next Friday, is it?
Yes, next Friday at Baba Shams. Yes,
absolutely. Get yourself down there. I'm so glad that you've come here and you've explained your sort of mantra, what you're meaning to do. 2019 is going to be a big year for you as well. Well, we're not about to lose you to Hollywood, are we? Because I'm just reading the resume here. We've got 4 films under your belt now,
yeah,
Chris.
I've had some fun. I got Logan. I got Here Comes the Boom. I've done some couple. I had about nine other movies that I've done and stuff like that. Some small budget stuff. I love this stuff. Actually, I'm trying to. What I have to do is, I know there's Bollywood does a lot of fight movies. You know what I mean, I would love to be. I'd love to be a bad guy in one of those kind of Bollywood movies. That'd be fun.
But we're not about to lose you to Hollywood, are we?
Hell no.
I'm still here for a bit. Yeah?
I got a 10-year plan at least. So I'm here for good.
Is it fun though? Because you mentioned about hard work in the octagon, hard work in the gym, hard work in the working out as well. We often hear about life on set as well of one of these big productions. Apparently, it's really tough work. Is it or not?
I guess it all depends. The motto of the movie business is hurry up and wait.
Very good.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's the motto. So I remember I've had days where I was in my uniform, my costume, and you know, you're sitting in the heat for, you know, it's 105 degrees, 120, 10 degrees, and in New Mexico, and you're doing Logan, and they don't need you that day, but you have to be there for 12 hours and you sit in the sand. You know what I mean? Then the next day, you're basically on the whole entire time, and you're just busting butt from take to take. So hurry up and wait is the motto.
Listen, I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours. You got that event next Friday. You're down at UFC. You on social media as well?
I'm on social media, just Christoph Szyszynski. That's basically me on IG and Facebook and all that stuff. You can look me up, no problems.
I'll wander into UFC and say hi to the big man himself. Chris Kahn, thank you enough for coming on down here to Brest.
Thank you so much
really
for having me. I would love to do it again.
All the best for your event next weekend.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.